If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Front Office Show. It's a sad day. I'm in a somber mood. I have to wait till October to see Lakers basketball again. I feel like I need some funeral music or something at this point. But we do have a lot to talk about on today's show. Somehow, some way, we will persevere, we will carry on, and we will get through it. Because we do still have a lot going on around the NBA. Make sure you guys do subscribe to the NBA Front Office Show. We are normally, I am anyway, normally much more peppy than this. But the Lakers, tragedy striking last night. Yes, there it is.
Took me a minute to find it.
So sad.
Sounds good. Oh.
Keith, I don't know what I'm more sad about right now. Am I more sad that the Lakers are down or are done? Are they out of the, that they're out of the playoffs? Or I'm more sad that now I got to find stuff to talk about for the next like 6 weeks before the draft. That's going to be challenging too over on the Lakers Nation side of things. No, actually, this team is the gift that keeps on giving. They always have stuff going on. There's always something happening, and that's we'll get into some of that today. Where do you want to start with all of it? Because there's an insane amount of stuff going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just quick wrap up of yesterday. We saw the season's come to the end for the Lakers and the Pelicans both. Uh-huh. Pelicans got swept. Not an overly competitive series. Game one was really good. Game four was okay. But the Thunder really took care of business for the most part in a way that was surprising. I know we both picked the Thunder, especially with Zion being out, and I know most people did, but I don't know if a lot of people thought it was going to be a sweep. I still think people thought New Orleans might get one or two in this series, and they moved on. And then the Celtics, the Heat are now just like a shell of themselves. I know you've been busy with Lakers stuff all day. Jaime Jaquez is now out too for them. So Jimmy Butler's already been ruled out. They announced Terry Rozier and Jaquez will both miss game five in Boston tomorrow. So if the Celtics don't close it out in five, quite frankly, that's an embarrassment. Fine, the Heat got the one game where they shot the lights out, and it was what it was. But get this thing closed out. Eric Spoelstra's down to like five or six guys, really, that he wants to play, because Duncan Robinson is dealing with a back injury, not moving well. He doesn't really want to play him. Kevin Love, he puts him out there for about 2 to 3 minutes each half just to give Bam Adebayo a little bit of a breather. Those have been disaster minutes. So Boston needs to get this done. We're going to get into Boston's big injury in a minute. And then, the Lakers there. And I think that's probably where we go next, because there was, very weird situation.
So weird.
I don't know how many people were reacting to this like we were in the moment on social media. And I know you guys were live on your post-game YouTube show. But at about what it was probably about 1 a.m. or so, I think. It was probably a little earlier than that, maybe around 12:30. Lakers reporters started tweeting, "Lakers are doing exit interviews tonight, so we're going to talk to everybody on the roster tonight," which is not normal post game. Post game in the playoffs, it's here's three or four guys, and maybe if a reporter has a good relationship with another guy, they may be able to grab them for a minute or two. but it was Darvin Ham's, but basically everybody but Rob Pelinka spoke last night. You know, all the players on the roster that anybody would care to talk to had their piece to say about it. And it's very, very odd. That is normally a day or two after the season kind of thing ends. And we had a lot of stuff come out. So you're the Lakers guy. Like, you pick where we think we should start. Oh, and not to mention, we also had the very clearly pre-written waiting for the final buzzer to sound of the season article that dropped within minutes after that basically said, Darvin Ham's getting fired. We're being a slightly more kind and not firing him while he's still on the court like we did to Frank Vogel a couple years
ago. The article, I broke the whole thing down for Lakers Nation. It just skewers Darvin Ham. I mean, let's just start there. So Darvin Ham out with Lakers, question mark. I think the question mark is going to disappear real soon. Yeah. That's coming. I think that's coming. That's going to happen. I don't see him sticking around. And I think it's justified. I mean, there's plenty of reasons. We've talked about it too. Like, anytime a team doesn't succeed, the head coach is going to take a lot of flack. And that's sports. That's not NBA. That's not Lakers. That's all sports. It's the way that it goes. But the stuff that's come out is particularly damning. The stuff about the players feeling like they had to win in spite of their coach and things like that. Like, that's just that's not going to work. So I would be surprised if they don't move on from him. I did think it was like the timing. It was I think they waited for him to exit the podium and then hit the publish button on the article. Like, because they did. And so to me, I went, oh my gosh, like they probably, Shams probably got word like, hey, we know you've got this, but after what happened with Frank Vogel, do not publish this until after Darvin's done talking and all of that, because they don't, because otherwise that everybody's phone's going to go off. People in the room are going to start asking Darvin questions about it. So I think they waited until after he got off the, so you didn't wind up with Frank Vogel getting informed that he was being fired as the Lakers coach by the media because the Woj bomb broke as he was doing his post game presser. That's, they didn't want that to happen. But so they waited until like, right as he finished talking to hit send on that.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think the Darvin Ham, I think last year he deserved a pretty big chunk of the credit for that team rallying the way they did, especially considering they had so many injuries last year to key guys, LeBron missed time, AD missed time, like the main dudes who drove that team. He also very quickly got them kind of reformed and built a real identity after the trade deadline. You know, that's not an easy thing to do when you make major change like that. And I think, I don't know that he got quite enough of the credit for that, despite some obvious failings and missteps and things he needed to learn as a first-time head coach. And then this year, I think it almost was a little, I know probably not in Lakerland, because people have been calling for his job since October. But I think on a league wide national level, there was some comment out there of, I don't think people fully picked up and realized with that. So with that. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think he's gone. This screams very much can't change all of the players, so we'll change the coach and hope that solves things, even if there's probably going to be plenty changing of the players coming here too.
Oh yeah, big changes are coming, we know that. That's clear, the writing's on the wall with all of that. It's going to be a busy summer for the Lakers. I think ultimately with Darvin it comes down to this. You know, if you want to take all the stuff about the players thinking they have to try to win and despite him, the changing rotations, the not banking on the consistency from last year, the chemistry from last year, and mixing things up, giving way too much leeway to the guys that he's coached before in Torian Prince and Cam Reddish instead of D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves and benching those guys, all this stuff. Even if you want to take all of that and just flush it, just forget about all of that, the bottom line is Darvin Ham is supposed to be a head coach where every player wants to run through a brick wall to play for the guy. And he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that with this team. So he's not known as an X's and O's guy, right? He's known as the motivator, as the guy everybody wants to play for, as the guy everybody's going to give 100% for. If that is not there, then what are you doing? And I think it's pretty clear that's not there with this team right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. And it felt like I promise I'm not giving like a backhanded compliment to try to be snide and silly, because I thought a lot was made of the whole closest four game sweep ever last year. Very clearly, the Lakers are not a bad team and not far away. You don't push the Nuggets two straight years, despite losing 4-0 and 5-1, or 4-1 rather. You don't push them the way they did if you're a bad team. And this is not a Nuggets team that was just completely took their foot off the gas. I think they definitely played some of the first halves of this game a little bit with we just got to get to the fourth quarter. But that's kind of been their MO all season, to be honest. And it's hard to argue because they win more than they lose. And they're generally right. Like, just get us to the fourth quarter within striking distance and we'll win. But I think it is – you're at a point with – that's where the margins become so important. And the timeout usage, which was kind of odd last night, finally used all of his timeouts. I know there's – all that mess with that final timeout. I thought Law Murray did the best job of breaking that down, because he went to the actual rule book and pulled, like, this is what happened. Part of it was the mandatory timeout that they would have had to have taken there. So that's part of why they lost it. It wasn't just the second challenge, but that was part of it too. There's if this, then this, or this, then this, kind of breakdown on that, but whatever. But the main thing is used all his timeouts and then down two with,
and then didn't have a timeout
left. Yeah, didn't have a timeout left to set up a play. So, like, that's kind of funny, because this was a guy who regularly ended games with two timeouts in his pocket. So, you know, that is what it is, right? But I think it was weird rotations with Austin Reeves. Like, by the time we got to the end of that series, it was like, by the time a playoff series is wrapping up, both teams kind of know these are our 7-8 guys. Sometimes it's 5 or 6 guys. And I think the Lakers should have known, and they didn't play Reeves as much as he should have played 40 plus minutes. And we haven't heard any reason why he couldn't do that. You know, there was nothing. I get it. If it was like, hey, he's hurt and he can only handle 30 minutes a game or whatever. But so that was weird. So yeah, I think it's just time to move on, reset player wise. We're going to spend a lot of time probably talking about a lot of stuff here. You've done a lot, I know, today. It was like every 5 minutes, it felt like a new video was going up from you today.
I've got 3 out so far with another one that's ready for our channel members. But yes, so, it's been a busy day.
Yeah, and that's with cramming in a little bit of sleep, because I know my last text from you came in at about 2:45 this morning, Eastern time. So I know you were
I was nowhere close to bed at that point too.
I figured you weren't close at that point. So but a couple of things that came up. LeBron was asked, are you coming back to the Lakers? And he kind of said, I'm not going to answer that right now, but very much with a smile on his face. When you saw just the quotes, it looked way worse than if you saw the video of him. And that's just LeBron controlling the process. Like, this is what he does.
Yeah.
He's not going to tell anybody right now. He probably knows what his
leverage if he says, oh, I'm definitely coming back right now. He's not going to do that. He wants them to use their draft picks and stuff to trade and make the team better for next season.
Yep. Yeah. Whether it is, because there's been stuff of maybe the Lakers will draft Bronny. So, you know, and that's fine, whatever. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Who knows? Only time will tell with that. But whether he wants to use his leverage that, where he wants to use his leverage to, hey, go sign player X that I know will come here or whatever, he's not going to give that up by saying, I'm definitely in the fold today, right? Because if the Lakers come back and say, hey, we're not, no more, you have no input, like, then maybe LeBron is like, all right, then I'm out of here. Like, I'm going somewhere else. So he's not going to tell you that today. I think the other one that was interesting was D'Angelo Russell. Also, D'Lo, come on. You don't need to do the whole interview in third person. Like, that was a little weird. You know, that one comment
that
of
was weird. D'Angelo
had a hell of a year or whatever it was.
Yeah.
What are we doing? But that part made me laugh. But he basically said, hey, I know I have some leverage. And he does. And it's funny because I've seen all day long people saying, what leverage does this guy have? He sucks in the playoffs. If the Lakers don't want him, let him go. It's not that simple. Mm-mm. If he just walks, you've now lost that salary slot. You cannot replace him. Yeah, they'll have enough to get a non-taxpayer MLE signing, very likely. Yeah.
But you're not getting a D'Lo level player.
Exactly. You're not getting a player as good as he is. Playoff failings aside, he still was very good for them in the regular season. I said this when they re-signed him. And LeBron and AD stayed mostly healthy this season. But in a world where LeBron and AD miss time, you need guys like D'Lo to win regular season games, because you can throw him the ball when those guys mm-hmm. are out. He can get you 45 and a win. I mean, he did it in Boston. I don't remember what he scored, but he was a big part of them getting that win, if I remember correctly, when a bunch of other guys were out. So now we're at a spot with D'Lo where if he walks, all right, that's gone. It's the player and the production is gone, but also the roughly $20 million salary slot is gone. So that's one where hopefully somebody wants him bad enough that it's let's try to work a sign and trade and recoup something of value with this. So that's going to be an interesting spot too. So, yeah, I mean, well,
that's the other part of it though, right?
Sure.
Is that there has to be a market for him.
Correct.
And that's going to be the question. Is there a team out there? He has leverage 100%. If no team, like if the Spurs are not interested, if the Magic are not interested, because they're looking elsewhere, then it starts to become, where does he wind up that could pay him enough to where it would be a threat to, you know, that he would walk with? Or it needs to be a credible threat. He's got to have at least one team out there to credibly threaten the Lakers that I'm going to walk away for nothing. So you better give me more years or what a player option, whatever it is he's trying to get. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on, is what exactly does that market look like for him? But yeah, this is what we know. And this is why people were so upset at the trade deadline. Why would you try to trade D'Lo or whatever? You know, people were upset about them shopping him and stuff. No, they.
It's done.
Connor McDavid, it's not real.
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
It had no regard to what he was doing on the floor. It was all contractual, because you knew if you waited till the summer, then this was going to flip. And I don't think they had a deal in place or a deal that made sense to trade him. But now this is the downside, is that for the team perspective anyway, is that over the summer, now D'Angelo Russell does have the leverage. Can he get extra salary because of that? Can he get an extra year on a contract or something? I certainly don't think he's going to pick up the $18.7 million player option. The Lakers would love that if he did, but I don't think he's going to do that. So they're going to be in a really tricky spot with D'Angelo Russell and trying to walk a fine line, because even if they don't think he's the guy for them moving forward, they either have to find a sign and trade, which is really complicated trying to work that out, or you have to sign him to a new deal and then hope that it's not a new deal that would be considered a bad contract come December, because they'll probably just look to trade him at that point.
I have a feeling this is probably going to be the first of many D'Angelo Russell conversations you and will have over the next couple of months here ahead of free agency. By the way, free agency opens roughly 2 months and 1 hour from now as we're recording this. So that's kind of fun, I guess. So that's something. A couple things with this. I'm not going to repeat because I echo everything you said there. Here's the other two things I will add with this is if D'Angelo Russell leaves, like just straight up leaves, and the Lakers are going after insert $30 to $40 to $50 million star X, Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell, whoever it is that people are, got their eyes on, that means it's got to be Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves. Mm-hmm. Almost has to be. They just don't have the matching salary otherwise to do that. And it's, sure, could you do something where you do a D'Angelo Russell sign and trade into a move to acquire somebody else? Yeah, but then again, that, as you stated, that means that team needs to want to have him. Or the Lakers are, let's say it was going to cost two picks to acquire the player. They're willing to throw in a third pick to say, hey, you got to take D'Angelo Russell. That seems slightly less likely to me to be the way this plays out. So we'll see. Yeah, we're going to probably hear more and more about this over the next roughly 2 months. He has till June 29th to make his decision on his options. So that's the kind of the date we're waiting on to find out. But yeah, and if he picks it up, it's clearly, I would be shocked if it is not as a, hey, I'm picking this up because I'm getting traded somewhere I'm okay being anyway, and then I'll work it out with that team down the line, and we'll figure it out together. Last thing, because I had this question of, he had the no trade clause this year that he negotiated away. The question people were asking me is, if he picks up his option, doesn't he then get another no trade clause, or does that negotiated away still stand? It actually doesn't exist at all, because by picking up his option, that turns it into a 2-year contract, and that only exists on a 1-year contract. So it's a weird, very much a technicality, but a very, very important technicality. So just, there's no trade clause for D'Angelo Russell if he picks up his option, or if he doesn't pick it up, then he's just a free agent at that point. He obviously has agency and what happens moving forward. So
yeah,
there's a bunch of other option guys. We'll get into that, I am sure, you know, over the next couple months. We're going to talk a lot about all that stuff, but wanted to cover off on the Lakers. There's, you know, even beyond the connection of you covering the team, they're one of the biggest franchises in the league. They have major decisions being made starting soon-ish. So we're going to cover it. So if everybody is going to scream and yell, all you talk about is the Lakers. Yeah. Celtics guy loves to definitely talk Lakers. Like that's my favorite thing to do.
Well, and you know, just to put a bow on all this stuff, then we'll get to your Celtics. As far as LeBron goes, it sounds like the Lakers are willing to do whatever it takes to keep LeBron. Contract wise, it sounds like they're already telling him, like, what do you want? Name it. Yep. Just tell us what you want, and we'll give you that. They're open to drafting Bronny if that's what it requires. I would imagine they probably wouldn't be willing to give up the 17th pick to do it, but maybe they've got like the 56th pick or something like that. They could do something there. But it sounds like they are all in on keeping LeBron. They're not looking to see him walk away or anything like that. And from what Rich Paul said recently, it sounds like LeBron wants to play probably a couple more seasons in the NBA. So I think he probably winds up staying with the Lakers, but we'll see ultimately what happens. I think LeBron is not going to reveal that, though, until the team does the stuff he wants them to do in terms of adding players and things like that for next season.
And hiring a coach, right? Because he's going to want some level of say, which is also, right? Everybody makes this a LeBron thing. That is every single superstar franchise guy on any team. They get say. Does he get some more? Yeah. Well, whenever he does retire, he might retire as the greatest player of all time. Of course, he's going to get more say than most other people. Yeah. And it's not like LeBron's just hanging out. He was awesome last night. And Trevor, I can't tell you personal feelings-wise on a player, anybody I have done more 360s on than LeBron in my entire life. Because I loved him when he came into the league. I thought it was awesome. I was 100% in that he was going to be really good. By the end of his Cleveland time and when he went to Miami, I was out. I was like, I am done on this guy. I hope he fails. Like, I want this whole thing to fall apart. I was completely out. By the time he went back to Cleveland and was winning pushing and won that title in Cleveland, I was fully back in. Then it was like, oh, man, we're going to jump again. And now you're going to the Lakers for very obvious reasons. I was kind of out again. And now I'm completely back in again on LeBron. You know, I said this last night. I tweeted this. I grew up on Bird and Magic and then was basically really raised understanding the game on MJ. and that flowed right into LeBron. It's shocking that this is my favorite game in the world is NBA basketball. Like, that's like, I don't know how people couldn't fall in love with it when that was, you know, if you're my age, that's what you had. Yep. Like, it's just, it really is, you know, unbelievable. And I am trying to, I don't know how many more years of games like last night we have, 2, 3, whatever it is, but I really want to appreciate him because it's like, he's just so special. Like, we're not going to see this again, somebody into 20 plus years playing at this level. We've never seen it before. We're not going to see it again for, I'm going to guess, 10 to 15 years, because maybe like Wemby or Anthony Edwards or somebody does it, but we're 15, you know, 20 years away from that even being a thing for those guys. So, you know, who knows, you know, we'll when we're doing our front office show in 2044, we'll discuss if Wemby has reached LeBron's level or not.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? We're still doing this show, still talking. By that point, the salary cap would be like, I don't know, it'd be $1 billion or something. Yeah. Probably more than that.
Yeah.
More than that. All right, let's get over to your Celtics. Kristaps Porzingis hurt, and it was just announced he is out for game 5.
Yep.
So he'll be out of
soleus strain, which is a calf strain. Okay. So I believe it's the same thing. Giannis is in his left calf, but it's the same thing. But they didn't release anything. Nothing came out. Normally, right, major player gets hurt, the next day they have an MRI, and one of the reporters gets the, you know, MRI results showed a grade 1, grade 2, grade 3 strain, whatever, it showed a tear. We didn't get that. We just got the Celtics injury report, which is Kristaps Porzingis out for game 5, right soleus strain. So we don't know the level or the severity. All I know is extremely thankful that's all it is, because non-contact, guy pulls up, looks at the back of his leg, and we all go the same place. Achilles. Is this an Achilles? Did the Achilles pop? What is it? Boston has been extremely cautious with him all year. I would guess it's unless this is extremely mild, I would guess we don't see him much in the second round. Yes, I'm counting my chickens before they hatch. I think they're going to get through to the second round. I already said that earlier. And they should, otherwise it's a massive failure. But I'm going to guess we don't really see too much of him in the second round. And it'll be, let's hope he can get back for what Celtics hope is conference finals and beyond.
Yeah. And so it's a matter of just getting him healthy and getting, and again, the Miami Heat are, the Eastern Conference is barely existing right now. Essentially it's the Knicks and the Celtics. Everybody else is either hurt or the
Knicks at this point. Like, we're going to get into that in a minute here too. They just lost another guy for the season.
Yeah, everybody is just this. Turn off the injuries already, please. Right? They're crazy. With Kristaps Porzingis, that I think they're going to be able to rest him up a bit until the second round, and then we'll see what that looks like. And then we also saw Brad Stevens get Executive of the Year, and well deserved. I was thinking about this the other day, Keith. If Milwaukee knew, and maybe they did, if Milwaukee knew Jrue Holiday was probably going to wind up going to the Celtics, do you think they would have not done the Lillard trade?
I think they would have done it, but I think they might have tried to rope another team in to send Holiday to as part of the trade. So Holiday never really goes to Portland, right? It would be, hey, Clippers, because Clippers wanted him badly, we'll pull you in and you'll just get him now. But by all accounts, when that was even discussed, the Suns and the Trailblazers were like, well, hold on, because Portland was like, I don't know that I want to take a bunch of the Clippers cast off contracts, which turned into what they essentially traded for James Harden later. Right. There was a little bit of, well, wait a minute, we're not necessarily. So I think they would have tried a lot harder to do that, but they had to know that was a very real possibility. Boston's just going to turn right around and go get him. But there's only so much you can do when you're trying to trade for a guy. You know, if you want to get it done, and remember, we got all that very in-depth reporting of how secretive those trade talks were, right, which they did a pretty good job on. Like, nobody really had that
in this day and age. Yeah.
And it was really interesting to get all the way into all of that. So my guess is you start pulling in a fourth team. Now, what I wonder is, Phoenix, you couldn't find a way to just grab them yourself? Like, think of how many problems that would have solved for that team if they had just taken Drew Holiday themselves. But right. They clearly wanted to get the bigs
not and, have a point guard.
And Nurkic and, yeah, and play the way they played and all that. But that's a bunch of what ifs. But, yeah, Brad Stevens, not surprised. So everybody is clear, too. This is the one postseason award of, like, the major awards that the media does not vote on. This is voted on by the peers. And the rule is you can't vote for yourself. Or anybody in your organization.
Otherwise, it would be a 30-way right, tie.
Exactly. Yeah. Or it'd be really telling if one guy didn't get a vote, and it was like, oh man, he even knows he did a bad job. which would be really funny. Now I kind of want to see that happen.
Right.
But yeah, it's So and he won by a pretty decent margin, and I think that's just a level of respect for he pulled off. At least one really gutsy trade with the smart trade for Porzingis worked out perfectly to this point. I'm going to knock very lightly on my desk here so the dogs don't flip out. And hopefully he's okay for the games that really matter coming up. But yeah, and then the Holiday trade was kind of it sounds weird to call it the cherry on top of the sundae. It was more like the hot fudge because he's a little too important to just be the cherry on top of the sundae. But yeah,
I don't know. Really, cherries are pretty awesome. I don't know. Do you like cherries?
I like the cherry, but it's like when you use that analogy, it's like one cherry gets put on top. I've been known to be like, hey, throw like five or six cherries on top of that.
Cause yeah,
I don't get a lot of stuff. Like I don't get a sundae that's like 87 toppings on it. Like I have my couple different things I like and that's what I stick with. And then, but if I'm doing one like that, then I'm like, yeah, throw a couple extra cherries on there just because.
It's a way to do it. It's a way to do it. I mean, I can't have a sundae in general, but the cherry part of it, sure, I'll take. I don't mind it when they put a cherry on top of something. It's pretty good.
I
don't know
how you do it, man. If it comes down that I can't do ice cream, like, we ain't making it to 2044 front office show. We're only making it to 2025 front office show if I get that news.
It's like my daughter doesn't understand how we lived without tablets and without the internet and stuff like that. Because she doesn't know. But I'm trying to explain to her, when I was a kid and it's, the 80s, I'm not sitting around going, man, I wish I had a tablet. We had no idea what that was. We had no idea what we were missing out on having. Sure. That's ice cream for me. I don't know what I'm missing out on because I just can't have it. So it's not, I'm not sitting around pining for ice cream because I have no idea. And people say it's great. I'm like, the last time I had ice cream, I was like, I don't know, probably 10 or something like that. Oh, and so it's not a thing. So I'm not sitting around thinking, woe is me. My existence is over because I can't have ice cream because I don't know what I'm missing.
Yeah. You see, you're fortunate that way. I know what I would be missing and how much I love it. It's like family basketball. And then it might be ice cream next. Like that's like my, I love ice cream, man. That's like my go-to thing. If I want something sweet, I've been trying not to eat as many sweets. I've been trying to cut down a little bit. And unfortunately the whole working out, the playoffs just ruin everything. Cause I'm up every night till 2 a.m. and then I'm sleeping in later and my whole schedule's off the next day. So got to get back on track here. Thankfully that's more of a first round thing. And I mean, the true West Coast teams are gone. Other than the Clippers, the Clippers are the last true West Coast team. So we're going to probably get a handful of these 7, 9:30 starts. And that's, that's fine with me. I'm all for it. I know a lot of people don't like it because they're still working and stuff or getting home or kids activities or whatever. But for me, I'm all about it because then it all wraps up a little earlier in the day. So, yeah. All right. What else we got?
We've got Kawhi out for game 5. Although, every time we think, oh, the Clippers are in trouble, no Kawhi, they wind up winning. So I can't say this is going to hurt them all that much because they still find out when you shoot 157% from three, that helps. but Kawhi was Kawhi out for game 5. Luka's banged up. Hopefully he's a go. But the Mavs need to win this one. I think the Mavs need to win this one more than anybody else does at this point in the series. They've got to get the win, take back home court after they'd already stolen it, and go from there, and then try to close it out in game six. To not get this one and then have to go win game six and game seven then on the road would be really tough.
I don't remember what the number is, but it's some overwhelming number of whoever wins.
It's like
game
18% five. Of teams win game seven on the road or something.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that.
And it's whoever wins game five. It's like, I want to say it's like 75% or something. Yeah. Go on to win game. This is per Woj. Celtics center Kristaps Porzingis is expected to miss a minimum of several games with the. Minimum of several games. What would be the maximum there? The rest of the season?
Minimum is several games. The maximum is the rest of the, but a minimum of several games, but you don't know when the next round is. You do know when it's starting, but so he's not going to play anymore against the Heat anyway.
He's definitely out for the rest of this one. I don't think we see him in the second round either. That would be my guess. Boston, what you want to do now is wrap this up tomorrow against the Heat. Then hope Magic Cavaliers go seven. Let that one drag out. Mm-hmm. So you're home. You've got your feet up. Porzingis is resting up, getting treatment. And then you get after it. Maybe he can return later in that series. But if that drags out, that pushes everything back a little. And then Boston, hopefully you can get him back for conference finals. And I don't mean this to be cocky, but they should get through the Cavaliers or the Magic without him. They've got enough front court depth. This is why you traded for Xavier Tillman at the trade deadline. No, he's not a Porzingis replacement. Horford will do that, do a lot of what Porzingis can do, a lot of it, not all of it. And then you ask more of Luke Kornet and Xavier Tillman coming off the bench and hope you can manage through that. It's the big thing is you can't just say, hey, Al Horford, you need to play 40 minutes a night now. He can't. You got to keep him under 30 ideally, and then hope that Kornet and Tillman can come in and give you enough minutes. And both Orlando and Cleveland, that's much more of a series for Tillman because they play double bigs. They're pretty physical, rugged team, so you could kind of get in there, man, and mix it up. Like, that's a good series for him. So that's where I'm assuming this will go.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, well, so there's a little bit of break. We didn't use the button, but that's a little bit of breaking news here on the show. All right, let's get into some more injuries because Bojan Bogdanovic out for the season. He's done for the Knicks. The Knicks already without Julius Randle. I've talked about before. I love this team. They're so much fun. But these injuries, I think ultimately their lack of offensive firepower will be their undoing. But this certainly doesn't help with that Bojan Bogdanovic is now done.
Yeah, I think this is tough because this is like the double whammy for Bogdanovic. He's going to have both foot and wrist surgery. He injured the wrist. He'd been playing with a left wrist injury for at least a little while. Now he hurt his foot in game. What was that? That was game four or game four or game three. One of the two. He got injured.
Well, yeah, he only played a minute game four. So that
was okay. That was game four. Yeah. And it was shortly after he'd come in. Production wise, not a huge loss for the Knicks. He hadn't played super well for them, but this is just one less guy they can have in the rotation now. Presumably, Alec Burks is next up to play. Again, they have not been using him at all for weeks now, if not months. This was not a playoff rotation cutdown. He had been out of the rotation early, but he's kind of the next guy up if they got to go to. And at some point, I get it. We all make the jokes. You and I do it too. Well, Tibbs will just play everybody else 45 minutes and call it good. We made that joke with Deuce McBride on the last show. They'll just play everybody 40 minutes and that's it. But at some point you need somebody who can come in and give you minutes, or there's going to be foul trouble, or someone's going to slightly roll an ankle and need to leave the court for 10 or 15 minutes of game time or whatever it is. And not having Bogdanovich is a loss for sure for the Knicks. They've got enough to keep winning and winning games. It's just you're not trying to just win this round, right? If it's just win one more game, that should happen now. You're up 3-1. But you're trying to win the second round. And then you're trying to get into the conference finals and win there as well. And when you're doing it with 6.5 players, hopefully Mitchell Robinson gets back and now you're down, you're at 7 players. That's tough. That is a tough ask to win 3 more rounds and get to where you want to be with that kind of lack of depth.
Well, who are you missing? If 6 or so. Well, I mean, are you assuming Precious Achiuwa is just out of the rotation if Robinson's back?
He doesn't play when Robinson plays. So
right. Okay. So that's where you're getting to 6 or so. Because Mitchell Robinson is a game time decision tonight, but Achiuwa was getting minutes. But you're right. He's not going to get those minutes if Mitchell Robinson's in there.
Yeah, he can't feel down. Like, he can't play at the 3 on the wing like Bogdanovich could. So it's not, you know, he's really, they treat him like a backup 5. Like,
so it's a 7-man rotation
at this point. Yeah, so you're down. My guess is we see Burks, like, give him some. Now's the time, right? You've got a 3-1 series lead. You're at home. Home crowd will be fired up. They'll be behind him. Give Burks a handful of minutes in the first half, see what it looks like. If it looks okay, you go back to it in the second half, and maybe you find, all right, we've got this now. We've kind of got something else we could do. Mm-hmm. Maybe they do play double big lineups where they roll out Achiuwa with Robinson or with Hartenstein. That's not something they've done. Basically, since Randall's gone down, they've pretty much said, hey, OG and Anobi, you're our 4, and we're going to play like that. And Josh Hart, the reincarnation of Charles Barkley as the small rebounding machine. You just keep going that way. But yeah, it's just tough, man. Once you start losing guys and you're already at a thin rotation, it's really hard to continue to get through because other stuff is going to come up, whether it's somebody else gets picked up or there's an illness, or it's just foul trouble in a game. You're at some point, you're going to need somebody else to go to. And Bogdanovich, as much as he wasn't playing great, you at least knew, all right, he's a veteran who knows what he's doing out there and will be in the right spots.
Yeah, exactly. So these injuries piling up for a lot of teams, but that's brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal. These playoffs, I mean, just it's insane. Like the star guys on all sides that are, you know, out. So just
I blame load management.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm kidding. Did you see the Magic Johnson tweet?
Yeah. Yes.
he blamed load management for the Lakers' struggles, and I think the internet collectively went, what it was the Nick Young meme, like the what?
Yeah.
they didn't load manage anybody.
I mean, maybe he was blaming the lack of load management. I don't know.
Maybe that was it. Load manage everybody.
I mean, Magic's tweets are something. They're a gift.
He's a legend.
Gift that keeps on giving. Yeah. He's a legend, not for anything he taps out on his phone. That's for sure. It's come out, right, that he doesn't really do it. Like, he tells somebody what his, like, thought is.
I'm sure.
That's come out that he doesn't.
That's the way it is a lot with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And man, but, dude, 2044, I'm not writing my own tweets anymore either. I'm out.
So think about this. Like you and me, like, if I want to do, like, my Dear Darwin segment, I'm recording that. I'm editing that. I'm posting it to the 15 different platforms I'm gonna post it to. All that kind of stuff. If I need to make a graphic for something, if I need to make a thumbnail, I'm making the thumbnail for the show. If Woj has some news that he's gonna post and it comes out with this image from Woj and all that kind of stuff, he didn't make that. He's got a team. He's got people that are making that stuff. You and me, we're still grinding it out, doing everything all ourselves and making that happen.
While grocery runs during the day,
exactly,
and pickup and all that stuff. Yeah.
It's Magic, not so much.
No, definitely not. I will say this though, the job affords us the ability to do those things where both of us previously would not have done those things. I mean, I'm at home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when we started talking about recording today, and it's, you know, there's no complaints. It's just, it is funny because I had somebody one time was like, you should add a graphic to the salary tweets, and I'm like, okay, sure, yeah, because I'll do that. Like, let me just learn graphic design here real quick. Like, yeah, what do you, Microsoft Paint, is that good? We already have an account that does that. NBA Paint, they do it way better than I ever could. So,
no. Right,
like it's they need you're plus who needs a graphic for a bunch of numbers? That's like you just need to see the numbers. So, all that said, site redesign on SpotTrack, I think it looks really good. I think it looks super clean. We've gotten a lot of good feedback on it. I will say this too. If anybody is on there and notices anything wrong, just send us a note. You can tweet me. My email's in my bio on Twitter. You can drop it in the show comments here. Promise I will try to do my best to look into it and find it. Yes, I know the trade machine is not there. It is not priority right now, unfortunately. The site redesign is priority, but the trade machine will come back up and running and all that. But, you know, just breathe for a minute and, yeah, we'll get there. With all that stuff, but yeah, a lot of good stuff coming.
Very cool. All right, I think last thing we've got today, and by the way, I like that it does the team colors at the top. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Surprisingly like not an easy thing either. I learned
when or have every page be a different color scheme. Yeah, I get where that would be difficult.
Yeah,
it's so tedious, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you have to really be able to,
but it's worth it because people notice, and I think people do enjoy that stuff. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, I think last thing we've got for today, the early entry list is out for the NBA draft. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but we've got the NBA draft mock draft that's up over on Basketball Bulletin. You guys can check that out. Put the link in the description down below. Yeah, I thought that mock draft turned out great. I know there's going to be future versions of it coming out, but go check out the Basketball Bulletin, which is our Substack. The early entry list is out. Kate, there's like almost 200 names on it, right?
Yep, 195 names, which I will read all of them now. Here we go. No, I'm not really going to do
this. It's like a commencement here.
Yeah.
So they're graduating.
Like graduating class. Yeah, 195. Little bit smaller than we've seen in recent years. It used to be this list was pretty big for a long time because there was no guys could declare and undeclare, and it was fine. Then there were some rules put in, mostly on the NCAA side, of you can only undeclare once. So the list shrunk. Then they went back to, all right, you can explore the process without an agent. You can do all this. And then we had the COVID years where that got kind of crazy. Now it shrunk back down. Part of the reason it shrunk back down, some of the guys who are, if I'm on, I'm at Gonzaga, who I know is a national power, but a relatively small school, I can make $1 million in ads in Spokane, Washington area because I'm a Gonzaga player and people, I'm beloved there. I don't need to go be a second round pick or get a jump start on going and playing in Europe. So we're going to start seeing this is now getting more towards what it's supposed to be. By the time it's 195 right now. That list is, my guess, is going to get cut a minimum by a third and maybe even by like half. I would not be surprised if we cut this list way down because now it's going to be the guys who really are like, I'm done. Like, I have nothing to be gained by playing another minute of college basketball. I'm going pro, or the international guys who are just, I'm ready to go to the NBA. So, but yeah, it's out there. I've retweeted it. It came out from the official NBA account as well, if you want to click on the list and see a bunch of guys who are on there. And some of the guys, people I'm sure are going to be like, didn't they announce this guy's transferring? What a lot of players do now is they set up a transfer, but they go through the draft process just to get a sense of, oh, wait a minute, I might be a late first-round pick. I'm going to stay in the draft, or I might be a high-priority second-rounder, or just to get the feedback of, you got to shoot it better. You got to handle it better. You need to defend better. You need to work on your body, whatever it is. Then they get that feedback from the NBA teams, and they can take that back as they work on it through whatever their final run through college is. So that's out there. Go check it out. There was no major surprises of names on and not on the list. It was pretty much what we expected.
Yeah, and keep in mind, guys can still withdraw and everything. It's just where we're at right now in the process. And, you know, of course, we're going to have a lot more. We'll have to bring Bryce back on, Bryce Simon, to help us out with our draft coverage. He does a fantastic job. And, of course, you can get his stuff up on the Basketball Bulletin as well. But, you know, the draft, it's going to creep up on us. Like, before we know it, we're going to turn around and we're going to be like, whoa, It's draft season. How did that happen? I know, like right now it feels like it's so far away, but it happens every year. It's like you blink and suddenly it's time for the draft.
I almost died when I looked. I was mapping out we've got X amount of off-season previews to finish for Spot Track. We also want to do free agent specific previews, some rookie scale extension stuff. All the things I'd normally write at this time of year. We're just building a calendar. And I was like, there's 8 weeks. That's it. There's 8 weeks until the start of the offseason. The draft is a little bit earlier than that. So we've got it sounds like a long time, and there'll be moments, I'm sure, for people like you know, Pistons fans are like, good Lord, could we just start the summer already?
Right.
You know, when your season's been over for months, but it is, yeah, it will get here very, very quickly for sure.
Yeah, that is going to happen. All right, everybody, make sure you do subscribe right here to the NBA Front Office Show on YouTube. Follow us over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts as well. Go check out the Basketball Bulletin, which is our Substack. I'll put the link in the description. Thanks, everybody. Till next time, we'll see you and stay safe.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.